But you know, the hymnal is really like a second Bible. I don't know whether you're aware of that, but the hymnal really is the truth set to music. And if you will go look through the hymnal, you'll see different segments of it. It's really basic truths that have been set to music. Some of these hymns you know, some of them hymns you don't know. They are gathered from, as in all Protestant churches, I think, gathered from all over. We have hymns written by Catholic authors, and some by Protestant authors, and some by people that have no religion at all, but had some kind of thought that was worthy to be preserved as religious. I'd like to just give a couple, if you have a piece of paper or pencil, want to drop down a few of these pages. In the book Education, Ellen White makes this interesting statement, and you can see it in Scripture, as you, especially in the book of Revelation and the book of Psalms. As a part of religious service, singing is as much an act of worship as it is prayer. Now, maybe all of us can't sing. Don's got a good tenor voice when he exercises. Maybe we all can't sing like we would like to sing, but really, it is as much an act of worship as it is prayer. And it troubles me sometimes to see Christians sing sort of lackadaisical. I'm getting that way myself because I don't have it anymore, but it's enjoyable to sing if you can and to do the best you can. But it is as much an act of worship as is prayer. Indeed, many a song is prayer. If you'll see that. Many of these songs are actually prayers. If a child is taught to realize this, she says, he will think more of the meaning of the words he sings and will be more susceptible to their power. Heaven's communion begins on earth. We learn the keynote of its praise. And that, of course, is part of our trouble in modern society. What is the most important part of the message in a song as far as religious singing is concerned? Is it the tune or is it the words? It's the words. And that's our problem with a lot of contemporary music. You hear the tune, but you don't hear the message, if there is a message. Sometimes there is, but sometimes it's lost in the tune. But it's the message. Now let me ask you a question. I'm a teacher and I can't get away from asking questions. Do you know the first song ever recorded in the Bible? Huh? Miriam's song? Well, now that's interesting. You're a lady. We men call it the Song of Moses. Exodus 15. Turn to it. Exodus 15 is the first song ever recorded in the Scripture. It was sung on the day after the, as far as we can tell, on the day after the crossing of the Red Sea. We wonder how Moses could compose it so quickly. It's a number of verses. But if you look at Exodus 15, verse 1 and 2, it says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel. Now you get the picture. They have crossed the Red Sea through the night. We don't know how wide it was. One of my teachers thought it had to be at least a mile wide in order to get that many. We have the number of the Israelites cross it with their wagons and their cattle and their sheep and all the rest. We're not told how long it took them to get across it. And then the waters came back down on the pursuing Egyptians. And if you look at chapter Exodus 14, verse 30, it says, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did. Don't leave. We're going to sing some. Well, you can go ahead. You can leave. You can sit down. That's not a very comfortable seat. Sit on the front row. But now look at the song, Exodus 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. And the song goes on. Now, how did Marta get the women in there? Well, if you look at verse 20, it says, and Miriam the prophetess, the song goes on. That's only a part of it. Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, which, what is a timbrel? It's a tambourine. You know, something you beat anyway, makes a noise. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Moses answered, and Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. It almost sounds they developed like a what? Sort of antiphonal type of singing where one sang, maybe that was the chorus, and they changed off. Why didn't, you know, I took a class in biblical literature, and this was one of the songs that we studied in college, and the teacher said, now, if you had been in that group of 2 million people that crossed that sea with their sheep and their cattle and their children and wagons and bedding and everything else that they carried, tents, why wouldn't you just knelt in prayer on the other side when you discovered you'd been freed from the Egyptian forces? Well, I'll ask you the question. Why? Yeah, there is a time, apparently there is a time when the emotions are just too big to kneel down and pray. You have to, you're going to have to say something. Do something. Well, I think you would have, but maybe you have been singing too. But that's the picture here. This is a victory. This is after 400 years of slavery. This is, the enemy's gone. There he is, dead on the seashore there. I mean, it's the climax of long centuries of heartache and slavery, the hopes, the promises. And you know we're going to sing, look now, Revelation 15, sorry to Marta, but we'll let her in on it. Revelation 15, 2 and 3, now look at this. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass, Revelation 15, 2 and 3. I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and with them that had, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark, this final crisis, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses and Miriam, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. You see, it's a little different victory. It's not a victory over physical forces of Egyptians so much as it is a victory over falsehood, over the devil, over the persecutions. And they sing the song of Moses, of Moses, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. That's one song we're all going to sing. Israel commonly sang as they journeyed through the wilderness in that 40-year period. They set, somehow Moses was able to set, they often set their teachings to music. I guess it was kind of a chant. Education 167, Ellen White again says, as the children of Israel journeying through the wilderness cheered their way by the music of sacred song, so God bids his children today gladden their pilgrim lives There are few means more effective for fixing his words in the memory than repeating them in song. And such song has wonderful power. I know that personal experience. I think singing Christ in song and gospel in song in the books of my childhood had as much effect on me as some Bible teachers. I still sing those songs. They come back to me. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Ask not to be excused. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. You know, you cannot escape those types of songs if they once get into your mind. Jesus sang. The only reference that we have is Matthew 26:30. But think of this, as he faced Calvary, Gethsemane, Calvary the next day, Matthew 26:30 says, and when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. I don't think, Bill, I would be singing. If I knew that tomorrow I'm going to the electric chair, I don't know that I'd be singing. But, you know, it does show us something about the faith of Jesus. Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas beaten in the dungeon, in the stocks, bleeding backs, locked into stocks where you can't move, singing psalms at midnight. Psalm 96 tells us that we should sing a new song. And you'll see that over and over again in the Psalms. What do you think it means by that, to sing a new song unto the Lord? Does it mean to compose a new passage or something? What's a new song in the Bible? You know what it is? It comes over and over again, huh? Yeah. It really means it's a new song because you have had a new experience in God, in your spiritual growth. Sing a new song, sing on a different key. Don't we have times when there's much to be sung about if we could sing it? We do have changes in experience. Well, we want to look at some of them today. And if you've got to have a hymn book, if some of you folks don't have a hymn book, we've got a few around here. You girls got hymn books back there? You want to follow it? You got it? If Gail would come up and help us. I picked out a few that I have in mind. I want you to try.
Frank, how many times do we sing these songs over and over and not even pay attention to the words?
Well, I'm
one day the words just jump out at you.
That's true. Now, look at 337. Here's one that's very, very common that we've sung many, many times. I want you to sing one stanza on 337, and I want you to sing the same stanza out of 138. What we did sometimes was to change the tunes, and it made a new song in a different way.
Sure did.
Okay, let's try. Just give us a chord, ladies, and you know this song. And we'll sing. Okay.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, 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 redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, 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 his child and forever I am.
Okay, now listen to this next tune. I don't know. Have you all?
I know it.
Huh?
You know it?
Yeah. Okay. You know it? Okay. You follow the folks. It's the same words. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am.
A little faster.
God of the land. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child and forever I am. I know I shall see in his beauty the King, in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footstep and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child and forever I am.
I like that. That almost sounds like singing in the cathedral here with organ, piano. That's a beautiful one. Now, turn to 425. Here's one that has been around a long time, but we've brought it back into the hymnal. Mm. It wasn't in the old hymnal, but it's been around.
Donna likes this song.
Holy, holy is what the angels sing. And we'll just maybe just sing one stanza. It's quite long. Let's see how we go here. I think you catch on to it right away.
There is singing up in heaven such as we have never known, where the angels sing the praises of the Lamb upon the throne. Their sweet hearts are ever tuneful and their voices always clear. Oh, that we might be more like them while we serve the Master here. Holy, holy is what the angels sing, and I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption's story, they will fold their wings, for angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings. So although I'm not an angel, yet I know that over there I will join a blessed chorus that the angels cannot share. I will sing about my Savior, who upon dark Calvary really pardoned my transgression, died to set a sinner free. Holy, holy is what the angels sing, and I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption's story, they will fold their wings, for angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings.
Well, I think we'll have a lot of fun singing that one. You seem to know that one. Now, turn to 200, number 200. 200, let's see here. What we did here, the words, "The Lord is coming," it's a song on the second advent, but we put them with the tune, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." And then you'll notice it says Melvin West. He was our chairman for tunes. He reharmonized it. And you come out with what you're going to hear now. But it's quite it really makes quite a fine Advent song. Let's try. You know it? Have you ever heard it?
I don't believe I sang this
you
song,
know
but
the tune.
I know
because,
the tune. So.
Okay.
The Lord is coming, let this be the part, the salutations from the heart. The Lord is coming, let this be the herald note of jubilee, the herald note of jubilee.
Second.
The Lord is coming, sound it forth. From east to west, from south to north, speed on, speed on, the tidings glad, that none who love him may be sad. The Lord is coming, let this be the herald note of jubilee, the herald note.
What do you think of that one?
I like it.
That's beautiful, isn't it? Now, let's try another one that we brought into the hymn, though we didn't have it before. It's a Methodist song. It was written in 198. It was written by Charles Wesley just a few days after his conversion in around 1738. We have a number of Wesley songs. Some of the folks in the committee wanted to delete them, but some of them. But you know, those folks, John and Charles, really had a grasp of the gospel message. And, we got a number of them in here. But this is one of them. It's I had never heard it much before. Maybe you should play it through for one of you, for both of them. You're not sure you know it yourself, huh? You're a Methodist.
I'm a Methodist. I don't think I remember this.
Oh.
I was a Methodist.
You were a Methodist.
Amen.
Okay. Well, do you know it? Are you acquainted with it? Are you acquainted with it?
No, I'm not. But
well, let me try it for you. Just follow it along with me. One thing in the hymn book, we tried to stay down. That's about the highest it goes, Bill, an E. But you'll notice that a lot of these hymns have been recast. It's harder on the pianist and the organist because it's thrown into flats, but perhaps it's hard for some. Anyway, I'd like you to learn this hymn.
It's good. We need to learn that.
It's right strictly, huh?
Let's go ahead and do another verse.
Well, I'm going to. Which one would you like to do?
Do the first one again. It's easiest to follow.
Well, did all of you sing on the first one? Okay, let's sing the
second
one then. 198.
He left his father's throne above, so he saw in at his grave, emptied himself. Mercy on
Amazing Grace with the right tune. 108. Yeah, we'll use this one to close with. But this has the tune that's more commonly sung with it.